I vaguely feel like there's research about the reason why women tend to moan. And I think it has to do with like creating competition with people, like trying to make other humans want to have sex when they hear it.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. To all of the entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs listening right now, you're definitely in for a treat. We will be talking about one of your most amazing experiences in your life and of your adolescent years, and that you carry all throughout your lifetime, probably. And hopefully. I'm talking about porn, pornography, adult entertainment, naked people, you know, those things. But I have a really fun guest today, and it's my honor to introduce our porn connoisseur. I'm just kidding. No, she's a friend of mine. Her name is Zoe. Zoe's unprofessional resume includes being able to dive the depth of a 9-story building on one breath. Ooh, amazing. Getting to the end of Stumble Upon and sending an unrelenting wave of memes to her loved ones since 2010. Damn, I'm going to look for this on LinkedIn. You can call upon her to identify any dog breed established in the 19th edition American Kennel Club book. She had a quarter-life clarity moment in 2017, quit her finance job, traveled the world for 6 years, and is currently based in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, where she had the fortune of meeting me, the person who has never watched porn in her life, because I'm a pure lady. Just kidding. Professionally, Zoe helps creative entrepreneurs and forward-thinking brands translate their vision into engaging content on social media. She's worked with brands like Spotify and Remote Year, leading international programs and exceeding annual benchmarks for campaigns like Spotify Wrapped. Zoe appreciates getting paid, but more than anything, she loves championing creativity and empowering people to share their magic with the world. So, hi, Zoe. How are you?
Hi. Boom, boom, boom. I felt like there needed to be air horns after that.
Right. Yeah, you have a very impressive resume. What would you say is your favorite part of that bio?
I don't know. It's hard to say, right? Because the unprofessional aspects of me also inform the professional aspects of me as a creative human. Mm-hmm. I think right now my biggest, or what I'm most excited about right now, is leaving the corporate space to become a freelancer. So yeah, that's probably what I'm most excited about.
That's awesome. So for those who are listening, I met Zoe through common friends here in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, which is a great hub for location independent entrepreneurs. If you are one of those people who are looking to find your next home, definitely check out my other episode, Why We Live in Playa del Carmen. You can just scroll up and find it. I recorded it a few months ago. You will find amazing reasons why Zoe and I ended up here and meeting these amazing people. So yeah, so when I asked you to come on my podcast and discuss anything to entrepreneurs, why did you suggest porn?
I think that maybe I had just watched it like the day before or something. Actually, so I've had an interesting relationship with porn. Like when I was in high school, I used to watch it not for sexual pleasure, but just out of boredom with my friends. And we would like to pick apart and dissect the storylines for a lot of these videos.
Right.
So fascinating, you know, like how someone goes from being a stepbrother to a lover, or the pizza guy also to a lover. Pretty much everyone got turned into a lover, you know?
Right.
So there was that. But after a day of watching it as an adult, you and I had a dinner scheduled, and it just kind of made sense to bring it up because it was top fresh of mind. Yeah.
No, I hear you. Those plots are pretty crazy, huh? They're like, they'll use literally anything and then just connect it to like having sex. I think the most disappointing realization that I have with porn is porn gives you an unrealistic expectation on how fast a plumber can come to your house. So that's really disappointing for me, or like the pizza, you know. So in porn, they would be there in like 10 seconds and then your pipes will be fixed and then you also get to orgasm. So that's like a best deal ever.
Meanwhile, in real life, they come like orgasm in 10 seconds, but the plumber doesn't arrive.
The plumbing never happens.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that's a lesson in customer service, guys. If you're an entrepreneur listening right now, just try to work on, you know, delivering the solution faster and coming later. You know, that I think that is like the takeaway from this conversation. Zoe, you know, obviously this is kind of a different conversation because you're a woman, I'm a woman. So we are going to share our perspectives about porn from our point of view, or from our girlfriends, basically from a woman's point of view. So can you tell us about like your first experience with porn? What was that like? What were the thoughts that were running in your head? Anything you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, first I want to call out that it's interesting that what we consider, quote unquote, the other perspective is a woman's perspective. Like, why, I wonder, do we normalize centering the male gaze when it comes to porn? And that's not necessarily something we have to answer right away right now.
Right.
But anyone who's listening, I encourage you to noodle on that a little bit more. In terms of my first porn experience, I honestly can't remember. I want to say I was probably surfing the net as like a 12-year-old on 4chan or something that I shouldn't have been on and stumbling across hentai of all things and being like fascinated that, like, as I'm an illustrator, so I know how long it takes to draw something. And I think I was really fascinated that there were people sitting somewhere in the corner of the world, spending hours and hours drawing the vein on a dick. And that was my entry point into porn.
Yeah. 4chan. Wow. That's like a major throwback.
I was an only child, you know.
How old were you again?
I want to say like 11 or 12.
Oh, interesting. I'm definitely a late bloomer. My first porn experience, I think I was 17. And this is because I grew up Catholic and I went to Catholic schools. And I was one of those people that really genuinely believe that porn is bad, masturbation is a sin, and I should save myself until marriage, or save my virginity until marriage. So, you know, I'm definitely like a late bloomer. Now that I'm an adult, I meet people that had like their first sexual experience at like 11 or 12 or something like that. And it just still shocks me. And of course, it also shocks them that I watched porn for the first time at 17. So, yeah. So what were like your initial feelings? You know, obviously you were like a kid.
Now that we're talking about it more, some memories are surfacing where a family member who was around the same age as me had also like brought up a porn site for us collectively to consume together, which is strange now that I'm like, why was my cousin trying to watch porn with me? But
so how's Thanksgiving?
I don't talk to this family member anymore. But I think it's, I mean, I feel like it was innocent, mostly just because it's like, oh, curiosity. This is a territory yeah. that we're not familiar with. Right. We're all here on the same page.
Right.
But I remember thinking, like, I don't even know if I had thoughts. I was just looking at the people and observing how giant their titties were.
Yeah.
And as an adult, I still have the chest of a 13-year-old boy. So definitely different expectations surfacing from that compared to my own body.
Oh, interesting. So basically your experience was you were just like marveling at these like body parts that look different from yours and kind of taking that in.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm sure on an unconscious level, I was taking notes of what is and isn't appropriate in that context. And in many ways, my body is not like those bodies.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's, you know, that's really young also. Like your body is definitely not, you know, you're still closer to having like a child's body compared to like a grown woman's body at that age. So that must be a different experience and also kind of a journey to just curiosity. For me, my first experience with porn was actually through a psychology class that we had in college. And obviously I've heard people talk about it, you know, my friends or like dudes, you know, talking about this thing that they've seen. And I would consider a pretty good first experience because the first video that I watched was what we would classify as female friendly. Like it was like tender and loving and slow and not, you know, like abusive or anything. And I thought that it was nice. And it also obviously shaped my perspective about sex and that it was nice and loving and slow. So thanks to my university, you know, I guess shout out to Ateneo de Davao University for creating a positive memory in my head. I'm gonna be invasive here, pun intended. Can you describe or share with us what kind of porn you like and what does your kind of your journey look like when you decide to watch porn and how you choose the porn that you watch?
Sure. So just in general, I'm going to assume that many people, unlike me, observe porn for like sexual reasons, like because they're trying to masturbate. But my journey wasn't really like that. I was just more curious about the whole production of it all. Uh-huh. But I think that has to do largely with like the first time I ever tried masturbating, I was like shamed for it. Mm-hmm. So then I think unconsciously I decided that masturbation wasn't something I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I've only recently in the last like 2 years maybe started to masturbate more on a regular basis. Really excited for all of my colleagues to hear this podcast.
and your future clients and yes. children, everyone.
I'm here for everyone's free expression, but I personally didn't feel that free for a while. But okay, going back to your question. So the type of porn that I like, I find that I actually enjoy audio only porn. And wow. Maybe that has to do with like me being a podcast person.
Is this the part yeah, where you plug Spotify again? Because yeah. you are not. No, I'm just kidding.
Shout out to Spotify for podcasters. Thank you for hiring. Thank you.
Now I know why you have a Blue Yeti.
Yeah. This nice. Yeah. Girthy blue
this
yeti.
Nice phallic thing close to your mouth is delivering results.
But yeah, I something about the sensation of audio only helps me get more in the zone, and I also think that there's something scientific about it too. I vaguely feel like there's research about the reason why women tend to moan. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. it has to do with like creating competition with people like trying to make other humans want to have sex when they hear it. But I find like visual porn very distracting because then I start to like I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a creative, like a visual artist. It makes me look at the set design. I'm like, what are they doing here? Like, what's going on over there? And then I'm like out of the moment. So I'll pause there. I think you might have asked another question, but I'm not sure if I addressed it.
Oh, the follow-up question was, how does your journey look like when you decide to watch porn and then decide specifically which one you want to watch? Like, do you go to categories, channels? How does that journey look like?
So there's a specific one that I like to listen to, which is mm-hmm. called Sounds of Pleasure. It's a mm-hmm. Tumblr account, and now they've moved over to Patreon. Shout out to them. Thank you for all the orgasms. And basically on Tumblr, like, you can just play audio, but sometimes people who are submitting to this Tumblr will mm-hmm. give like a description, and so I'll read the description and decide if that's like mm-hmm. a moment that I want to be a part of. A lot of the times it's just regular people submitting themselves, like having sex with their partner or like masturbating.
Like amateur?
Yeah, amateur, kind of talking through their experience.
I see. Yeah, I hear about that a lot. You know, I hear most of my friends who are obviously normal people, not sick human beings, their preference
is debatable,
asterisk. their preference, they would always share that their preference is amateur because it feels more real and not porny, and that they feel a little bit of excitement of just watching a normal person also. I think there's a lot of things to unpack there, like obviously body image issues, and even like race, you know, if someone looks like you, like that matters, and how they sound or, you know, things like that. I feel like the amateur porn is very, you know, especially with the rise of OnlyFans. We have a client right now in outsourcing that is outsourcing her customer support and creatives to us. And she even, you know, and she is a business in that realm. She says that most of her requests, or she would say 80% of her revenue, comes from specific requests, but they are actually like normal stuff. They're not like sick stuff or, you know, weird stuff. So very, very interesting. Do you think that is kind of an act of like, I want that to be my sex life, or I am fantasizing that that is my sex life because it feels more familiar, and that's why people love amateur porn? Like, it's real, more relatable.
Yeah, I definitely think so. There's actually this female produced porn company called Beleza, I think. Beleza, I might be pronouncing it incorrectly. Mm-hmm. Also shout out to them. And I actually have a lot to unpack about them. I don't know if we have time for it during this episode. Oh, great. Love that. But yeah, they have this whole franchise of content where it's videos where like the porn actors get to decide who they want to have sex with. And mm-hmm. it's almost like a blind setup where they have a conversation with the camera people and producers about like why they selected this other actor. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times they haven't like worked together before. Sometimes they have, but it just like feels more normal, or not quote unquote normal, but like mm-hmm. it feels more natural, where it's these actors are there as themselves rather than as the part that they're playing in an otherwise scripted set. Mm-hmm. And I find that those videos do more for me than like the weird scripted stuff. Mm-hmm. Which also might be why when I was younger, like watching porn, like for entertainment more so than for sexual pleasure, like
right.
the stories were just ridiculous. Like, you can't really get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. So yeah, it's fascinating how people go through that journey of deciding what to watch. For me personally, it's a mood thing. Like I would have like my top three favorite kind of plots or something like that, and then depending on how I feel that day, that would be kind of the thing that I chose. So what do you think of that statement that porn takes away from your actual sexual experience? Do you kind of agree with that, disagree? Is it a it depends thing, and How does that statement land?
I'm sure that it depends on the person and the way that they're using pornography. I think that we've heard stories about how people have trouble in their real sex life because they're so preoccupied with porn, or like I've had a boyfriend, for example, who like could not come from normal sex because he masturbated so much and like watched porn so much. So I think in those ways, like anything else, if you're going overboard with something, then it can take away from your life, but everything's a balance. And in some ways, I'm sure that porn can also invite new ideas and like comfort in having sex with your partner or whoever else you want to be involved with.
Yeah, so I love that. I wanna delve into that a little bit more. So you said that the, you know, a benefit, quote unquote, of watching porn is that it really depends on how it adds value to your life, basically, and how you use it. So what can you give us certain examples of like useful, beneficial uses of porn and how that experience can be explored further?
Yeah, for sure. One example, this is really personal, but like sometimes I enjoy watching porn with my partner and we might engage in sex as a result of that, or like watching it while we're having sex. And so it's kind of like the pornography is an entry point into like getting us started.
Right.
Or I'm sure there are moments where like someone has observed something in pornography where they're like, oh, I want to try that with my partner. And so it like expands creativity. But for that to work well and not be like an issue, I feel like is you have to be grounded in like who you are and like confident in your own sexuality. Otherwise, I think it might intimidate people and actually make them more insecure.
Right. Yeah, you're right. There's so many things that you can notice from a video and that could, you know, depending on how your thoughts run, that could also negatively impact. For me, I think a way to use porn also in kind of a beneficial way. I love that you mentioned it's a great conversation starter. It opens up to deeper intimacy between you and your partner. It's basically like, if you're reporting in class, you need a visual aid, right? And this is like your visual aid. If you want to, hey, babe, I want to try this. Or what if I do this to you? Have you done this before? How does that feel? So it kind of decorates that safe space that you want to deepen your intimacy with your partner. And I think also for me, and this is also more personal, it makes me... Honestly, it personally makes me think of a positive thing of how women actually enjoy sex also. I don't know, just kind of makes me feel good that women, you know, enjoy sex. And that's actually most of the porn that I indulge in. Like, indulge, what a word. It's like I do it every day. Like, no. But
tell us the truth.
I tend to choose like female focused, female friendly porn, and I enjoy seeing the girl enjoy it. Makes me feel good, makes me feel positive. It's like seeing, you know, a person helping an old person cross the street. So sit on that.
Okay. I'm exploring Carla's fantasies right now. All people across the street.
All people crossing the street. I'm sure there's a plot like that. Like, oh, hey, can I help you cross the street?
And yeah. Is your partner the Boy Scout and you're the person getting the old across person. The street? Or are you observing a Boy Scout helping?
I am like the police standing on in the corner.
ACAB.
getting ready to arrest him or something. No, that's weird. I actually like that role play fantasy. Like I told my husband that like I like that, like a police kind of fantasy or something. So Yeah, we're probably going to do that tonight. Anyway, so do you think there is such a thing as quote unquote tasteful porn? And what does the opposite look like if you agree with that statement?
I feel like it's unfair to say, like, broadly that there's one type of thing that's tasteful, because then you get into this world of kink shaming. Now, if we want to define tasteful as, like, respectful porn, where even within
consensual
like, even within the BDSM world, those are some of the most respectful sexual partners if they're doing it the way you should be doing it. And so I think there's a way to have, like, that kinky, like, quote unquote degrading content, but you know that the partners are on the same page with what their expectations are. So, like, yeah, if you want to define tasteful as, like, everyone's needs are being met, then yeah, I definitely think there is. But to define, like, a gangbang as distasteful versus like some sweet soft kisses leading up to getting eaten out, like, I don't think that there's a tastefulness between those.
It's not a binary thing. No, I don't know if you've seen those, like, because you brought it up, gangbang videos where they interview the girl in the beginning, and I actually appreciate that. And then you would hear the girls say, yeah, this is my first gangbang, or, like, this is my 10th gangbang and I really love it. And, you know, I'm here for it. Every hole is a goal, whatever things they say. Whatever Tony Robbins would say to a porn set. Just imagine, like, Tony Robbins motivating people in a porn set. That's what usually they would say. I quite enjoy that part.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think there's a side of me that feels somewhat skeptical, though, recognizing the history of the porn industry. And sometimes I'm nervous about how legitimate, like, those comments are from the girls, because you do also get a lot of girls who start young and they're, like, 18 years old. And yes, technically that's the age of consent. But when I think about myself as an 18-year-old going into having sex with someone who might be, like, 40 years old, there's obviously a power dynamic there regardless. And then you also have all of the other pressure that society, or, like, just the other rules and things that society has conditioned us to feel as women. So I'm always a little bit skeptical about, like, a young girl speaking about her porn experience.
Yeah. And, you know, to add to that, I also feel icky when they outwardly, like, mention the word, like, teen. I know it's huge in, like, porn, like, oh, you know, teen girl and blah, 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 you know, teen girl gets this, you know, at a taxi or something. So I feel icky when I see that, because they're outwardly, like, advertising, literally using it as a hook that this girl is a teenager, even if that girl is not a teenager, but just, like, even playing to that fantasy. And yeah, like you said, we both know 18, 19, you're by law, that is, like, the age of consent, but really that's like a child, and you don't generally make good decisions at that age. And that's not, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to add that it's not to take away the empowerment that I'm sure some women have being a part of the industry, but I wonder if there's, like, a mindset shift that we can do within that industry to make sure that everyone is feeling properly empowered. And I don't know that it's there yet.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, it's difficult because there's obviously things that the industry needs to work on. There are two very good documentaries that I saw on Netflix. One is After Porn Ends, and it's, like, former actors in the adult entertainment industry. They're just telling stories, you know, both the good and the bad. It really gives you, like, a good insight. So definitely check that out. And then the other documentary was also Hot Girls Wanted. And that one really was really sad, because it shows you how the industry is taking advantage of women they share there that most girls get paid $800, around $800 per video. And then when they're amateur or when they're new, they would get a lot of offers, but it's rare for them to do more than say 5 videos. So whatever career, you know, quote unquote, they had in their head, it won't even come to fruition. And then they just go back to like their little towns. So it's, you know, there's definitely a lot of things that the industry could like work on, especially protecting women and men who are doing the work. But at the end of the day, I just think every industry has its, you know, has its undesirable parts. And unfortunately, porn is largely an undesirable category in terms of a business industry. So yeah, that's a conversation and a half. Speaking of business and, you know, industry business, do you think that watching porn takes away from your productivity as an entrepreneur or adds to it?
I don't think that I watch it enough for it to take away from my productivity. Yeah. I think that as like
it's on your Calendly, like
right,
watch porn from 3 yeah, p.m. it's, to 3:05.
Sorry, you can't book these hours for a consultation because I'm wait, how long are you watching porn for?
5 minutes.
Did you say oh wow, nice.
I'm easy.
Yeah, in many ways. I think that to be like a stable human, you kind of have to have balance in your like mind, body, and spirit. And not to get too woo-woo, but I do think that having a healthy sex life is a part of that. If not, I hope that you can release your physical frustrations in other ways, like going on a run or something.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Like we have different types of release, and that could be a 10-minute stretch, right? A quick yoga thing or a quick Pornhub thing. So, or both.
Yeah.
Yoga
while watching porn.
Exactly. Take downward dog to the next level. So, in, you know, taking this business talk further, do you think that the industry, the porn industry, adult entertainment industry, promotes a sense of liberation and empowerment for women? Like, if you were to judge if it's generally good or generally bad, which way does it sway?
Truthfully, I don't know enough about the industry to give like a confident expert opinion, but from my personal experiences, I would say that it like, I don't know how another word for this, but it's like the greenwashing of female empowerment. So greenwashing, at least in the environmental sense, is when a brand takes the idea of sustainability and markets themselves on it, but they're not actually doing anything. Like it's the equivalent of a brand slapping a rainbow on their logo during Pride Month, you know, like it's very surface level. Like I think that there is an opportunity for women to find empowerment in the industry, but I suspect that the people who are in power in this industry are not fully engaged with making sure that women feel empowered. So I think there's a lot of room to grow. But what I really love about like tech companies or businesses that are democratizing creation, like OnlyFans, they're putting the power into the women who are creating these accounts and running their own businesses. And like, I think that's really cool. So I think if you want to include like those types of businesses in the industry, then yeah, I think there's progress happening. But like the OGs, like the original production companies, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, when you're talking about business in certain industries, class plays a huge role in it. And obviously, a lady that, say, gets signed by a huge company will have a different experience than, you know, a small bootleg company that's starting out that may not even have a permit, basically. So the girl who signs, say, with the bigger company is going to be more protected. It's probably going to get paid properly and on time. And then these other producers will have a have a higher propensity probably to abuse, you know, the system, and even abuse like the dreams of these actors, you know, men and women, those who are starting out. So I love that you mentioned that and the greenwashing term, because I think that even no matter how much the porn industry says that they're doing this for the empowerment of women, we also know that in that industry, there is also a lot of like abuse, right?
100%. I mean, it comes... So to bring it back to when you originally said, like, we're giving a different perspective, like the perspective of women, the reason why it doesn't feel normal is because I assume the people who started the industry are dudes, like men, who have a very specific view of the world and the way that women operate within it. Yeah. And as I have a friend who has relationship with a really major nude magazine brand through a family member. And I've witnessed growing up, like, the toxic environment that this brand had created.
Wow.
And it's like, it encouraged like competition between the girls. That's not feminist in any sort of way.
Right.
It not only like made them feel like the workers feel bad about themselves, but it encouraged them to like pick apart each other. And that's just one brand's example, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was how a lot of the industry and businesses operated.
Yeah. So on that, you know, since we are basically giving, you know, our criticisms in the industry, let's say you are going to start your like Zoe Productions, Zoe Porn Productions. What is your vision? Like, what is your vision for this company? What would you like to see in the industry? What would you bring as a positive change? Zoe for president, yo.
I suppose, like, from our conversation, the core of it is the people who are participating in the act need to be respected on all fronts, like everyone who's participating, not just one person. And there shouldn't be a power dynamic where going into it, someone feels like they don't have as much say in the way that the scene is acted out. So it would be interesting, like, I would have to explore more thematically if, like, what the categories of my porn production is, but it would be really cool if the people participating could also be the ones to like support in the creative of it all, like the creation, the storyboarding, and etc. I don't know if that's just because, like, I'm someone who likes to collaborate with other creators. So I'm like, yeah, everyone, like, let's be a part of this party and come up with the ideas together. But I don't think that there has been a production house that does that yet.
Yeah, I think there should be kind of a porn company that's just really, like, their brand is just really positive and geared towards growth. I don't know, maybe Goop can do it. I think they're the closest, like, they're, you know, they have all these conversations about sexual health and kind of even like some sort of a human liberation, right? Or like the liberation of the spirit. I feel like they're such a big name in that kind of industry, and I think that they're properly positioned. And that is just my vision, obviously. Like, if I was to create my own, my dream porn company, Carlos Porn Productions, it would be like tied to like a lot of positive things. Like, I would put audio meditations. I would put like self-image audio meditations and things like that. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I love
we can
that.
Still do I, it. Maybe yeah, we can go to Shark Tank.
I think that we should also integrate like educational resources too. Right. So when I lived in San Francisco for a brief period, I was a host for this company called Skirt Club, which is essentially like a lesbian and bi curious sex party. And so there were two types of events. One is a mini skirt where some, like, you can come and meet the community, and it's also a closed community. And in these mini skirt events, which are more introductory, they would invite an educator to come teach you things like how to properly pull someone's hair, how to spank, like all these things that you don't know who to ask about. And you're getting to learn from a trusted source. So I feel like that would be cool. Yeah. And also, like, there's, I don't know if this is appropriate to say, but there's this podcast that these teenagers started that basically created a space for teenagers to address life questions that other people weren't answering for them. Like, it would be cool to have something like that integrated into our porn production company. And now it's Carla and Zoe's porn production company. Zoe's, we've merged.
KZPP, exactly. So watch out for those codes on the stock market screen. I think also I would love if our dream, we're just fantasizing now about our like dream production. I think that it would also be nice if this porn channel, porn production would cater to men in an empowering way. I think the problem with porn is that they make a lot of money out of people's loneliness, right? And then they take the depths of, like, obviously we all have dark thoughts, like that's normal, guys, you know, we all have dark thoughts from time to time. But what I don't like it what I don't like is when porn kind of like takes those dark thoughts and tries to, you know, tries to smooch off of it, basically make money off of it, make money from your loneliness. So I think something from guys, for guys, I mean, would be really also beneficial in like empowering them to think about their bodies in a certain way, even in a humorous way. Like, I don't know, this is just an idea, but like after, say, a doggy style video, you can do there's a pop-up that says, do you dream of like doing this? Maybe, you know, work on your cardio. So tomorrow go on a 3-mile run.
Okay.
To unlock the next video. Oh, gamifying it.
Ooh. Or I mean, I think that the physical aspect is a good call out too. Like, I'm sure many men feel weird about their bodies when they see these dudes with like 6-pack abs or whatever.
Right. Pork and like, in 18 a girl. 18-inch penis. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or even like, what if after anal, there's a pop-up that's like, here are the 10 best, or here's how to make sure that your dick is clean after doing this. Like, this is the best way to clean your dick.
Or a corrosive.
Yeah. I'm just really here for the education. And then also the physical aspect is important, but I think that maybe something men would also benefit from is like the emotional intimacy. Because I think a lot of times we neglect men in that way. I think a lot of times we make men feel like they're not allowed to seek out emotional support, or like it's always like, just put the dick in the vagina and that's what we're here for. But like, guys need love too.
Yeah.
And I mean, you see it in a lot of statistics in the world, like homelessness issue, like the majority is single dudes, and a lot of it is that they're not comfortable reaching out for help because guys are kind of taught that they're supposed to figure things out on their own and be a man, and you have the toolbox, you know. So like maybe in this sexual context, like showing men, making that emotional connection too.
I love that. I actually love that, because that is one thing that porn does, is that it service to men also. You know, obviously a lot of men enjoy porn and you know, indulge in it. And obviously there are a lot of male focused videos that just show the guy being satisfied, you know, however that looks like in the video or in the category that you're watching. But what it misses out is that you're right. Like, guys need connection, guys need real intimacy. And these things like intimacy, devotion, these are actually the thing that make guys great partners. And I remember a story by one of my closest friends of the guy that she was seeing. Unfortunately, they broke up. It didn't work out. But when they were starting to date, she remembers this very tender moment where the guy literally sobbed onto her and said that, I am just yearning for a female's like touch. I just want to be held by a woman. I haven't had like meaningful sex in a long time and my cup is empty. And anyway, it was like such a tender moment. And that was very kind of such a something to think about, I would say. I feel like the porn could also do these guys a solid if they showed, you know, any other form of satisfaction aside from ejaculation.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. So, what would be a good porn video that you have in mind that would empower our dude friends?
I don't know. I wonder if this is the challenge for the porn industry as well, because building that connection also sometimes takes time. Like, this is something that I'm starting to explore more now that I'm single. Mm-hmm. Before, like, when I first became single or when I was younger and single, like, mm-hmm. I was very sensual. Like, I loved having sex with people, and mm-hmm. it was easy to have sex with me, frankly. And now that I am a little bit more mature and mm-hmm. exploring the fact that I like want an aligned relationship, I'm finding mm-hmm. that I'm less inclined to want to just jump anyone's bones.
Right.
Whoa, is this what having standards is like? And I think that it's because it's taking me time, like more than two dates, to actually get to know a person and decide if like I want to be intimate with them in that way and like be penetrated by them. And so I wonder if it's just hard to capture that like real connection and intimacy in like the first 2 minutes introducing a storyline for a video that you're tapping into.
Right. No, I hear you. I think there's an irony with porn. When they do that scene where a guy invites the girl to have sex with him, it looks very easy and there's no investment, there's no emotional investment, which is really very, I wouldn't say dangerous, but like, let's use that word. It's very dangerous for trying to understand what really makes a girl want to have sex with you. I read this really, really amazing book. I recommend it to all of my female friends. It's called Irresistibly Feminine. And by Zach Rohde, it's a really good book on like nurturing your femininity and polarity in relationships. And the author, Zach, actually talks about being penetrated, the phrase that you used, being penetrated. To penetrate a woman sexually, you have to also like penetrate her emotionally. Or when a woman opens up, the best gift that you can really give your woman is give her a safe space to open up her feelings to you, because metaphorically she will also open up to you more like sex wise when a woman feels safe with you. Now you can invite her to try this thing with her butt or try this position, or but without providing her that safe space and giving her permission or even like actually an encouragement to be herself and feel safe, then you can't really invite her to have sex. Because one of the most common complaints apparently of guys is that they feel like they're not having enough sex. And one of the ways that women punish men is withholding sex. And so it's not good for both of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And I'm sure that it's safe to say my best sexual experiences are when I feel the most confident and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not stressed or worried about the way that I'm being perceived by the other person. But yeah, I hate the idea of like withholding something like that mm-hmm. as punishment. It's more like if you're not in the mood, like that's fine, but don't use that as a bargaining chip.
Yeah, because like, if you use that, then you're setting yourself up for failure, right?
Yeah, intimacy shouldn't be conditional. Like you should have the intimacy already.
It's a gift. Yeah, it's a gift. It's not like you can't take it, right? It's mm-hmm. given to you willingly. I remember, you know, to that point, and also something to learn for, especially for our male listeners, I remember going to this workshop a while ago. It was some sort of a personal development workshop, and we were taught to share some things. And then we were taught to pair up, and then I got paired up with a guy. And then we were sharing things in like the sharing part of the workshop. And I was so fascinated because I was single at that time. I was so fascinated because after he shared certain things with me about his life, I just felt like I want to have sex with him. Like, not in a horny way, but like more of like, I'm opening up to you. I want to open myself up to you. And I want to give you the gift of intimacy for honoring this space, something like that. And so it made me think about what an ideal sexual relationship looks like. It made me think that, oh, you know, if that's what I naturally felt, that's how I should always naturally feel. Safe, you know, honored. You know, he didn't even say that he desired me. He didn't hit on me or anything, but I just like felt it. And it was like such a moment, such an eye-opening moment for me. Did you have any similar experiences that you want to share?
Yeah, I definitely think that I immediately feel closer to people where they've demonstrated they've opened up and are willing to be vulnerable with me. Mm-hmm. Even like a few days ago, I went on a date with this man who shared something with me about his family that he doesn't talk about with his friends. And the fact that he trusted me made me feel like we had a deeper connection than like a surface level conversation. And yeah, I think it's really powerful to be willing to be vulnerable to someone else. And the act of having sex, like there are times where I've had sex and it didn't feel vulnerable at all. And that sex just isn't as great as like when you are fully in it with this person, like open up.
Yeah, it's forgettable. And then you hate yourself a little bit after. And then, you know, for me, at least, it's like, I realized that it was a waste of time. Even like I've had like encounters, which were like, oh, I should have just done laundry or, you know, like it was like in the moment it felt, you know, it's also partially ego, right? Like as a, you know, as a human being, not just as a woman, it's good to feel desired. And I think that's the kind of the tricky part of deciding to have sex with someone, because like if you feel so desired, that confuses with a feeling of having real intimacy.
Yeah.
And especially if you have like low self-esteem in that moment, then you become vulnerable.
It's true. I was actually just talking about this with our friend Eliza on a different podcast episode.
Nice.
about how there are times where I'm like, oh, a guy likes me, like I want to hook up with him, but I'm not even thinking about whether or not I like him. It's like I was younger and seeking the validation from this person without knowing. It's like you're putting everything on this other person and not even being clear about what's alignment with you or in alignment with you. And so I wonder, like, where am I going with this? So I wonder, like, how many times we've had sex just because the offer was there without considering, like, do I actually even want to give this part of myself to this random person?
Right, exactly. And, you know, as you grow older as a woman, that kind of insight gets deeper and deeper. Like, you know, you start to learn about energy and, you know, who you let into your life, not just sexually, even, you know, even as friends or in, you know, people, acquaintances in the industry, you start to be more protective of your space and your energy as you grow older. I think actually, you know, remembering my own experience based on what you shared, here's how porn actually helped me with that, with those decisions of should I sleep with this guy or not. Because I've been in those moments where I feel very like vulnerable self-esteem wise, and I just want to be wanted and I just want to be desired. And I used to have a lot of insecurities. There were years and years where I couldn't have sex like with the lights on. I was just really hard on myself, like, and how I looked like, and I just saw all of my imperfections. Anyway, but like porn helped me, but with that decision of not having to sleep with the wrong people, because if I think of like going out on a date, or if I literally get hit up for a hookup, you know, obviously when I was single, I would then think, if I'm just horny, I'll just stay at home and watch porn instead of like going out and be with this guy. And sometimes it's laziness, right? Like I don't want to go out. And sometimes it's like, I just don't want to spend time with this person. And I'm, you know, and I don't want to have to spend time with him just to come, because I can do that at home with Bob, the battery operated boyfriend.
We love Bob.
Bob for president.
I left my Bob in LA. I can't wait to get him back.
Yes. Get him a residency.
Soon.
Did you have the same experience? Like, instead of going out on a date, just stayed home and watched porn?
I'm actually exploring this more now, recently, because I had been in a long-term relationship, and I actually am like a serial monogamist, so I haven't been single for very long throughout my life. So this is the longest period, and now that I have standards and expectations, I'm finding that the men that I'm dating are competing less with each other and more with my time with myself. And so it's like, if I'm taking, like, am I going to go walk to the beach, hang out with you for like 3 hours, maybe get a beer, and then be distracted and unable to focus on my work? Or I could just masturbate and listen to some porn for like 10 minutes and then get right into work to accomplish my goals. Like, you have to be a really freaking awesome dude, or like really aligned with my life for it to be worth it for me to like set my goals aside to hang out with you.
Yeah. And, you know, porn is kind of that, you know, helps you with that decision, because you get one part of the equation. You know, if I'm just horny, especially like us girls, we go through like these hormonal roller coasters in a month. And there's like 1 week when we're super horny, and then there's 1 week where we're just not feeling it and we feel ugly and all of that. And so that helps, actually, for me. It's like one way that porn helps. I don't have help. It's helping me not make bad decisions on who I let into my life just because I'm horny.
Yeah, I am perpetually horny, though. It doesn't feel like a roller coaster. It's just like constant.
It's just constant. Oh my gosh, it's funny. How does that level of sensuality, how does that serve your business?
Well, I am a creative, so I am an illustrator and designer, as well as like a content creator, and I create strategies for social media. And so I think like the sensuality and that energy I often repurpose and kind of transmute into this other form of creation. And I think that similarly, my desire to connect with other people also like shows up in work, not because I'm trying to fuck everyone, excuse my language, not that I'm trying to bone everyone that I'm working with, but like I like connecting with people and like understanding how they see the world and what they're trying to get out of the world, so that we can bring something into the world that's like magical and covers all of our bases.
Yeah, I love that. And there is a very interesting alignment there, because if you think about it, having sex is literally an act of creation. That is, you know, you're like, our bodies are designed to have a baby when you have sex. That's why, you know, that's how our bodies work. And so when you say that you can kind of transmute it to also creation, creative processes, and creating things in real life, as in art or content or anything that inspires other people, it is a great diversion of energy, and a healthy one and a lucrative one.
Yes, snaps to that.
Okay, so this has been a really awesome conversation, and I hope that I hope that a lot of the people listening right now, especially entrepreneurs, have, you know, something else that they have realized or that they thought about. And I think really the heart of it is here in this podcast, my mission is just to give people something to think about aside from their business. And so I'm really honored to have this conversation with you. If you have one advice or one takeaway or one thing that you want to say to people that regularly indulge or consume pornography, what would it be?
I think that this would be my advice for anyone about anything, but to invite more play and curiosity into everything that they're doing. So if you're going into watch pornography, like maybe try watching something that you wouldn't normally, or like being curious about a situation, or if you start to feel weird, or if you are exploring a new sexual dynamic with a partner, like just approach it with curiosity. Like, what's something that you can learn, or like what's something you can play and experiment with in this scenario?
I love that. I love that. I think curiosity is very underrated, but curiosity is the heart of solutions. And in coming up with new and innovative solutions, literally anything new, you know, anything that has been invented started out of a spark of curiosity. So I love that advice. For me personally, if I would love to add to that, I would just want to share that a little bit of insight and looking inward is also really beneficial. Like after, you know, you had that moment of curiosity, and then thinking, oh, yeah, you know, a little bit of processing, like, oh, that made me feel, that turned me on. I wonder why, you know, and then like just kind of looking inward instead of just making porn a thing, making your orgasm the final destination, right? I definitely had those moments of, huh, what was that? When I found myself being turned on by different stuff that I saw on porn.
Yeah, I love that. It's true. And I don't want to say like be critical, but definitely be reflective of the experience that you just had. So that one, you can understand how to reproduce that experience in the future if you enjoyed it, or to just to like get to know yourself a little bit better to live a more fulfilling life.
Yeah, I think a person's sexuality is such a huge part of themselves, and the sexual energy is also very underrated as a source of inspiration and motivation. So I think there's a lot that can be earned, that can be gained from watching porn and using it in the right way. You know, at the end of the day, it is content, and you still get to decide what kind of content you consume and how you use that in your day-to-day life. Cool. All right. So to anyone that's looking to have a deeper conversation or want to check out Zoe, where do you hang out? How can they find you? How can we follow all of the exciting things you're doing?
You can find me on Instagram at Zoe, Z-O-E, V as in Victor, Nguyen, N-G-U-Y-E-N. Or you can also book time on my calendar, and hopefully Carla will include a Calendly link somewhere for you.
I will. So for those who are looking to connect with Zoe, I will put her Instagram and her Calendly link on the show notes. So definitely look out for that, and don't abuse her calendar. Don't try to send her voice notes that are too sexy, obviously without including me. So that's the fun. Just CC me. if you're looking to take this conversation further, get her insight, or if you want to play around with some creative ideas for whatever exciting thing it is that you're building, and if you feel like you can take away from a lot of her insights and her expertise, obviously, definitely slide into her DMs.
Holla.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much, Zoe. It's been an honor to have this conversation. Thank you for sharing your experience, your life with us. And to all of our listeners, feel free to drop us a rating. We would really appreciate it. Or give me a comment on Facebook or on Instagram, wherever you catch this episode. It means a lot to us. And of course, follow Zoe.
Thank you, Carla. It's been great chatting.
Thank you so much. And to everyone, this has been None of Your Business. See you again next week for another amazing episode. Bye.
Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.